Welcome to the Motor City Sports Rundown. I'm your host, and we have a lot to unpack today. It is late April. The tension in the city is palpable. And honestly, if you are a Detroit basketball fan, you might still be staring blankly at a wall after what happened last night.
Staring at a wall, screaming into a pillow, questioning everything you thought you knew about this team. It was one of those nights. We went from the high of that dominant Game 2 bounce back straight into a nightmare scenario in Orlando.
It really is the ultimate whiplash. You think they have it figured out, you think the top seed is finally asserting their dominance, and then the wheels completely fall off in the fourth quarter. It's the kind of loss that doesn't just lose you a game, it threatens to shift the entire momentum of the series.
And that's exactly what we are going to dive deep into today. The Pistons are officially on upset alert, trailing the 8th-seeded Magic 2-1. We'll break down exactly how that collapse happened, what went wrong in those final brutal minutes, and what it means for Game 4.
We will also hit the roundup later in the show to talk some gridiron and some ice. The Lions made an interesting undrafted free agent signing to bolster the quarterback room following the 2026 draft.
Plus, a little blast from the past for Red Wings fans, as a current NHL powerhouse just tied a rather impressive and incredibly difficult playoff record set by the 2009 Detroit squad.
It's a packed show, but we have to start with the hardwood. Let's get into the autopsy of Game 3.
All right, the headline we are looking at comes from Fox Sports. Magic take 2-1 lead into Game 4 against the Pistons. The final score was 113-105 in favor of Orlando, and that final score really does not tell the story of how agonizing this game was for Detroit. Not even close. If you just looked at the box score this morning, you'd think, okay, an 8-point loss on the road in the playoffs, it happens. But it's the sequence of events that makes this a disaster. The Pistons held a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter. A 17-point fourth-quarter deficit overcome by the Orlando Magic. You are the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. You are supposed to be the team that knows how to close the door, salt the game away, and protect a lead like that. Instead, they completely unraveled. They froze. That's the only way to describe it. The offense became incredibly stagnant, the defensive intensity vanished, and the Magic just kept chipping away. You could feel the energy in the arena shifting, and Detroit had absolutely zero answers. Let's zoom in on the final 3 minutes, because this is where the game was truly lost. The Pistons were clinging to a 1-point lead. It was 105-104 with exactly 2 minutes and 52 seconds remaining on the clock. And they did not score a single point for the rest of the game. Not a single point. A 9-0 run by Orlando to close it out. Nearly 3 full minutes of empty possessions, missed jumpers, turnovers, and just a complete lack of execution. How does a top-tier offense go scoreless in the most critical 3 minutes of their season? It comes down to predictability. When the pressure ramped up, the Pistons fell back into the trap of relying entirely on Cade Cunningham to bail them out. Cade had a great game statistically, leading the team with 27 points. But down the stretch, Orlando knew exactly where the ball was going. Exactly. They trapped him, they sent double teams, they forced the ball out of his hands, and nobody else stepped up to make a play. You need secondary scoring in the playoffs. You cannot expect one guy to beat a set playoff defense by himself, especially an elite defensive unit like Orlando's. And you look at the other side of the floor, and Orlando had balance. They had two guys who were absolute nightmares for Detroit all night. Paolo Banchero and Desmond Bane each dropped 25 points. That tandem is proving to be incredibly lethal. Banchero's size and ability to get to his spots, combined with Bane's perimeter shooting and physicality, they just wore the Pistons down. Whenever Orlando needed a bucket to stop a Pistons run or to fuel their own comeback, one of those two delivered. It really highlights the vulnerability of this Detroit team right now. They finished with the best record in the East, but they are playing like a team that is terrified of the moment. And you have to consider the historical context here, winning on both franchises.
Right. Neither of these teams has reached the second round of the playoffs since 2010. There is a massive psychological burden here. For Orlando, it's about proving they belong after coming in as the 8th seed via the play-in tournament. They are playing with house money and immense confidence.
And for Detroit, the pressure is entirely on them. You don't want to be the number one seed that gets bounced in the first round by a play-in team. That is franchise-altering embarrassment. And you could see that tension in their body language during that 9-0 run. They were playing not to lose, rather than playing to win.
It's a stark contrast to Game 2. In Game 2, the Pistons won 98-83. They played physical, bruising defense. They dictated the pace. It was a rock fight, and Detroit proved they could win a low-scoring, grinding matchup.
But in Game 3, they let the pace get away from them, gave up 113 points, and couldn't get the stops when it mattered. The Magic's resilience is becoming the story of the series. They refuse to go away, even when down 17.
So now we look ahead to Game 4, which is scheduled for Monday, April 27th, right back in Orlando. The Pistons are facing a virtual must-win. Going down 3-1 heading back to Detroit is essentially a death sentence in the modern NBA.
It is. The coaching staff has a monumental task ahead of them over the next 48 hours. They have to figure out how to generate offense when Cade gets trapped. They need to find ways to get other guys easy looks at the rim or open catch-and-shoot threes.
And they have to solve the Banchero and Bane puzzle. You can't let both of those guys get 25 points efficiently. You have to make someone else on that Magic roster beat you.
It's a gut check, pure and simple. We are going to find out exactly what this Pistons team is made of on Monday night. Do they have the mental fortitude to shake off a historic collapse? Or is the pressure of the top seed going to crush them?
I think the most concerning part is that Orlando now firmly believes they are the better team. When you were the 8th seed and you rip a 17-point lead away from the top seed in the fourth quarter, you feel invincible. The Magic crowd was deafening, and they are going to be even louder on Monday.
Detroit has to come out and throw the first punch in Game 4. They cannot afford another slow start, and they absolutely cannot afford to take their foot off the gas if they build a lead. They need a full 48-minute performance, something we really haven't seen from them in this series yet.
It's going to be a long couple of days of film study and soul-searching for this roster. If they can't figure out the secondary scoring, and if they can't lock in defensively down the stretch, this magical regular season is going to end in an absolute nightmare.
All right, as much as we could talk about that Pistons collapse for another hour, we need to take a breath and hit a few more stories real quick.
Yeah, let's pivot away from the basketball court and check in on what the Lions are doing to wrap up their draft weekend, plus a little history lesson on the ice. Starting with the NFL, the headline from On3 is Illinois QB Luke Altmyer signs a UDFA deal with Detroit Lions after 2026 NFL draft. He brings some solid college production to Detroit. He really does. He spent 5 years in college, starting at Ole Miss before his 3 seasons at Illinois. Last year, he threw for over 3,000 yards, 22 touchdowns, and only 5 interceptions, while completing 67.4% of his passes. It's a smart, low-risk move. With Jared Goff entrenched as the starter and Teddy Bridgewater locked in as the backup, Altmyer is coming in purely as a developmental arm and a practice squad candidate. Exactly. He doesn't have elite arm strength, but his accuracy and experience make him a perfect camp body who could potentially stick around and learn the system.
Moving to the NHL, the hockey news gives us this headline. After 15 years, Red Wings' 2009 benchmark is finally equaled.
This is a wild stat. The Carolina Hurricanes just swept the Ottawa Senators in the opening round, and they did it without trailing for a single second of the entire series. And the reason that matters here in Detroit is because the last team to achieve that never-trailed streak in an opening round was the 2009 Detroit Red Wings. It's a great reminder of just how dominant that 09 wing squad was. It takes incredible defensive discipline and offensive efficiency to never fall behind in 4 straight playoff games.
That is going to do it for today's episode of the Motor City Sports Rundown. A heavy basketball show today, but Monday night's Game 4 is going to define the Pistons' entire season.
It really is. We'll be right back here on Tuesday to break down whatever happens in Orlando. For better or worse. Let's just hope they figure out how to hold a lead.
Fingers crossed. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your audio, and leave us a rating if you enjoyed the show. Until next time, stay strong, Detroit.